Good evening, folks.
This is Carolyn Evers.
And as you might understand, today is Saturday, my favorite day of the week. And I'm here because it brings me great pleasure to be here and come along with my dear friend.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard. I hope you weren't talking about that koala you've got sitting next to you there.
No, wasn't thinking about that. Well, we come every week, my friends, and we send you an email about the individual that we are going to discuss tonight. And I want to tell you a little bit about how this individual was chosen. Now, if you get our email, you know that the young lady who really wants to come forth is Karen Carpenter. And you also know that you, my friends, have sent requests to bring forth different individuals, and we put them on a list. And then we go over the list, and someone puts up their hand. It's really interesting. It's like being tapped on the shoulder. And Karen did this. As we were going over the list as to who we would bring forth, there was Karen, this beautiful soul. And for those of you who are listening to this, who know they've been told they're cherubim angels, Karen is a cherubim. She's one of the cherubim angels from your group. And such a beautiful, beautiful being she is. And she came forth for a specific reason. And she is here because she has a particular message that she wants to send out to our cherubim friends and to everyone else. If you remember Karen, just see her image in your third eye. Call forth her name. And as Richard brings in her energy and describes her energy to you may also be able to feel her and have communication with her also. She wishes to speak to you individually. So here is a time where you can bring forth your right brain magic skills. And so, Richard, if you would be kind enough to call forth Karen and tell our audience what her energy feels like, we would be very grateful.
Her energy surprises me because it carries tremendous power. She carries love. I experience her energy very, very centrally for the most part and powerfully, like I experience some of the great masters. And in many ways, it's not that almost kind of light, dainty woman that we knew as Karen Carpenter. There is a great power here. And above all, love. And yet, along with that, there is this lightness, this edge of joy to the left of that. And joy is the best word to describe it. Beautiful, clear, clean energy. As I said, primarily this experience of powerful love with this almost dancing joy. Beautiful, beautiful energy.
Thank you, dear friend. And hopefully, when you heard that energy described to you, you could connect with her. She is so anxious to connect to you. And Richard, she tells us that she has a message. And what is it?
Let us see what she has to say. I am honored to be able to come forth in this manner. Again, it is not something that I envisioned being able to do, but when my name came forth as these two were reviewing their plans, when my name was spoken in that manner, it's kind of like a cue. It's like a tap on the shoulder. And in this dimension, even though it seems like an instant moment in yours, from where I stand, suddenly you can draw this picture together in what you would consider an instant of time and immediately understand the perspective in which my name was mentioned. And so I took the opportunity to respond. And here we are all communicating in this manner. And I feel blessed and honored and excited to be here. And so I asked to come forth because I wanted to share some things with you in relation to my life. As those of you who have listened to my music will understand, I was blessed with perfect pitch so that I was simply able to sing any note without effort. And it really was that, above all else, that enabled me to sing as I was able to sing. And some have described my singing as angelic, and indeed that was the intention, to carry a particular vibration, a particular energy, and bring it forth into the world. Though, of course, as the individual that I was, as Karen Carpenter, I really did not understand that I was fulfilling a planned mission. And as you might perhaps expect, it was not planned that I die at the age that I did, of some 32, nearly 33 years of age. It was not planned that I do this. However, strange as it may seem in a sense, and yet those who understand the nature of that consciousness, despite my success and the, you might say, perception that so many held of my singing and the music that my brother Richard and I in particular created, I was plagued with self-doubt. I felt unworthy. And that might sound strange to you, but indeed I felt unworthy. And this, I recognize, was what drove my desire to be so thin. In some manner, it became fixed in my head that if I could be slimmer, I would be more worthy. I would gain a greater sense of my own worth because I felt I was overweight. And yet in truth, I was never particularly heavy. But rather, this became an addiction of sorts, you might say, and really was driven by my sense of unworthiness. And as many of you listening to this will understand, the notion of self-worth, of self-doubt, these two things are very closely connected, has really nothing to do with your success or otherwise in the world, in the terms that you or somebody else might judge by way of success. It is simply a perception that one has of oneself. And I remind all of you, you are all souls sent forth from great monads of extraordinary complexity and experience, and you come forth into this consciousness to fulfill a mission. But the nature of that consciousness has been so manipulated by so many sources, so many self-interests, you might say, to demean and to diminish the individual human's perception of themselves, that so many suffer from these, what I consider, afflictions of self-doubt and lack of self-worth and self-criticism and so on. Indeed, underpinning these in a very powerful way are those elements of guilt and shame. And these things are things that most, if not all, of humanity on some level has to deal with in their lifetime, either by succumbing to them or beginning to understand their nature and clearing their sources. And so I wanted to explain to you what had driven what happened to me. It was not the plan. Indeed, I recognize that this actually came forth from a past lifetime, this lack of self-worth. And indeed, this is a source where these things can often come forth from, not only from this lifetime, but from past lives. And it was part of my plan to clear this in this lifetime, but that did not happen, as you can obviously tell. And so I was left with great sadness when I crossed over, because I recognized that I had not fulfilled all of my mission as I had planned. And indeed, it is the experience of those who, on crossing over, recognize that they have failed to fulfill significant aspects of their mission. There can often be great sadness and great regret. And on this side, it can be difficult to clear those emotions. And I have to say I was very humbled to be able to clear my sadness through the one who brings my words forth yesterday. It was a great relief for me to clear those energies. And so my message primarily to all of you is to recognize that these energies are present. They can be present from past lives very often, and they, as a result, are given expression in some form in this lifetime. So you may reconnect with those energies from past lives. It is the key reason that you bring them forth in some form in this life. And so few truly understand how that consciousness works, how we all have brought forth prompts to ourselves in life to point to these things that need to be dealt with. But we are not taught about these things. In fact, they are hidden from most people. And so people may stumble across these things in some form, or through psychiatry or psychology find some relief or release of these energies. And I say to all of you, if you suffer from these things, if you suffer from a lack of self-worth as I did, if you are highly self-critical as I was, and if you carry great self-doubt, indeed as I did, then it is important to recognize that these things have nothing to do with the truth of you, the truth of who and what you are. You are a beautiful being created in love and from love. You are love. And I did not expect Richard to use the words that he did to describe my energy, and yet I recognize the truth of his words, because love ultimately is all there is. And you should find whatever mechanism you can to begin to clear those perceptions of yourself. Part of it is to find a way to clear those past life karmic energies, and I am aware that these two have been given a command, which at this point is restricted to some of their work to bring forth, but that will change as events unfold, and I encourage those of you who have access to that and have not taken advantage of it to do so, to help set yourselves free in this lifetime, to be all that you can be, even though these processes, in a sense, will be undertaken for all of those who wish to clear these energies before that coming December solstice. But I encourage you to embrace your own self-worth, to begin to search for that truth that you do in fact love yourself. You must. It is the very nature of things. And so my message to all of you is to learn from my experience and to heed my words and to remember the truth of who and what each and every one of you is, a beautiful being created in love. That is the truth of you. And yet you live in this consciousness where so many would persuade you that you are much less than that, that you are unworthy, that you are not worth great consideration, that you should be highly self-critical. And you are also not taught the skill of forgiving yourself and forgiving others, because truly that is the key to setting yourselves and others free, forgiveness. It is in many ways such a simple thing, and yet we get caught in all of these patterns of blame and recrimination. You did this to me, and so on, so I won't forgive you. And so the one that is caught by that is not the person that you don't forgive, but it is you that is caught by this. I can see these things so clearly now, and yet I too, as you can tell, was deeply trapped inside this consciousness such that it cost me my life. And so I say these things to you so that you embrace that fundamental truth. And I know, as I said, that some of this will be changing dramatically quite soon. And as the consciousness changes, some of these truths will become much more obvious. And yet it is still necessary, even in that new consciousness, to claim the truth of yourself, to, in a way, step forward and claim that truth of who and what you are. And the earlier you begin that process and you accept that truth, the easier it will be as you move forward. So this, above all else, is why I am saying these words and what I wanted to share with you. And I am pleased that my music has left a legacy that I know many still enjoy today through the wonders of YouTube and iTunes and so on. It gives me great pleasure to be able to witness from this side how people continue to enjoy the music that Richard and I created. And it is my gift to all of you. It was a key part of my mission that I was able to fulfill, at least on some level, and for that I am very thankful. And so it is.
Oh, how beautiful, Karen. Your message, we were not aware of the message that you would give before you came. But as you know, we work with these tenets, these truths that you brought forth, encompass the work that Richard and I do, from karmic clearing, from our conference calls. We understand how humanity is so caught up in this unworthiness. They have been taught that from little up. And Richard and I work so hard with all that we do. And I thank you for bringing this forth so that people can think about it. And if you haven't cleared this from the past, please go to our website. Richard, give a mention of our website, please, so people can go there.
Yes, our main website is the 2012countdown.com, and there is, I think, a page there that talks about soul healing and links across to the key page where that work comes forth.
Thank you, Richard. And if you listen to our radio shows, we really don't bring a lot of commercials into it because we believe that hearing these individuals from the other side is enough. But I had to say this because what Karen tells you is really a big heart of our work. And I can't thank you enough, Karen, for bringing this forth, because when Richard and I do this work, we are so aware of how individuals carry this heaviness within their hearts of not being worthy enough. And I tell them all the beautiful souls that they are. I see in their eyes and hear in their voices the beauty of their Creator. And so I want to thank you for bringing forth that message. And now, to those of you who are out there listening to this, call in with your questions. The hour goes by so fast, and we get up to the time when we get to have to leave the air, and we have these questions from people, and many times it's too late for us to connect with them. So if there is something that you hear in this message that you want to talk about or you want to ask Karen about, please call now. Before we did the show, I was speaking with Karen, and she told me that she is planning to incarnate again, and for me to discuss this with her. So, Karen, if you could tell our listeners your plans for coming back to Earth, I certainly would like to hear this from you.
As you understand, I did not complete the mission that I came forth to complete. And this, as I mentioned, generated great sadness. And in a sense, the opportunity to complete that mission has passed, because all of that work related to the time before the unfolding of ascension. And so it is not really the completion of that specific mission that drives me. Rather, I wish to come forth once more into the human consciousness, the human experience, and to firstly fulfill the mission that I put together for that lifetime, but also to contribute to the best of my ability to humanity, and also to experience fully a life lived in joy and love and peace, because that is the opportunity for a soul incarnated in the human form, particularly beyond this transition in consciousness that is awaiting you. Because you will all, those who participate in that transition, have a much greater awareness of who and what you are. And so this loss of memory, if you will, that the human being currently suffers from, and the shaving of experience and ability, all of this will be reinstated and be in place for all of those who ascend, but also any who then incarnate into that new earth consciousness. And that is the choice that I will be making. I look forward to being able to express fully the joy and the love that I feel. And perhaps I shall walk another path in music, because truly music is so close to my heart.
Thank you, Karen. We believe that a soul that is incarnate in a physical body is just so miraculous, because it is the emotions within the body, the love, the compassion, the joy, the integrity. We could go on so long just talking about emotions and the effect that it has upon others, and the effect that it has upon the soul that incarnated. And I don't know if you have had an opportunity to look at this since you have been on the other side, but if you have, could you give us a little concept of what you have learned about the human body and the growth that comes from that through
the emotional process?
I have spent quite a deal of time examining the nature of the human journey, particularly as, you might say, I got trapped in my own, not trapped by anybody else, but myself. And yes, it is a very difficult journey, the current human journey, because of the interplay, if you will, between the light and the dark, those forces that wish to control humanity for the most part for their own ends. This is a very difficult experience for most of humanity, even though they do not understand exactly what is going on. The journey through these energies and through the, you might say, consciousness within which all of humanity find themselves, it is in and of itself very challenging. And yet there are so many wondrous things about the human form. Before I mention the human form, I will mention the wonder of that beautiful planet called Earth, because it reflects the best of the best, you might say. So many beings wished to come forth and contribute from across the cosmos the best that they had available in terms of plants and animals and insects and so on. And for the most part, all of this has been exquisitely structured and balanced. Yes, there have been threads of the dark even in the expression of nature, but even these elements will disappear as you pass through these changes. And so there is this exquisite experience of nature that is unique to planet Earth. The other thing that is unique to humanity is the enormously powerful emotional bodies that you all carry. For the most part, humanity does not understand that this is unique in the cosmos. No other beings anywhere carry such a complex emotional body, such that there is this experience of emotions of such wide-ranging power and color, such that, as Carolyn was describing, just a list of some of the positive emotions that one can experience as a human being. And there are also the negative ones, of course, which so many have been caught inside of. But the journey to experience those emotions truly is unique. And so I have come to understand that uniqueness, and indeed it is part of the reason that I wish to return, to experience the fullness of those positive emotions that will be available still beyond the ascension process. So there are so many things that are unique about the human experience, and it is so easy to get caught in those negative threads, as I say, which caught me up, as I have described.
Thank you, Karen. We have another Karen on line 3. Karen, welcome. What is your question, dear?
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question and for all the wonderful information. Just curious, and this may apply to others as well on the call, it just seems I've been clearing so many issues and so very, very quickly. And there's been a huge transition, you know, in my consciousness, but I'm just wondering, is there anything to do to kind of make it a little more comfortable for the physical body? Some days it's like being on a roller coaster ride where it's difficult to function. And the process is wonderful, and I know there's good things happening, but then there's also just very difficult for my physical body as far as
yes.
pain. And so you know what I mean. But is there anything
yes.
that I could do to help in that process?
Well, let's see what Karen has to say. Richard, you heard the question, didn't you?
Yes. It is a difficult time that you are going through, as the energies shift so quickly and so powerfully on the planet. these energies really have been changing for the last 25 years. However, it is particularly the last 2 years, and in some ways the last 6 months, where these changes have been coming forth. And in a way, we can observe those energies. So we see how powerful those energies have become. And it is no surprise that those who are sensitive to these energies are struggling with these changes. Some have been quite debilitated by them, others simply a little out of sorts for a day or so, or lethargic. And there are other reasons that there are pains in the body. Some of these can be related again to the necessity of clearing the karmic energies that I mentioned before. And some of them can be related to just the processes of aging of the physical body and any conditions that you may have chosen to bring forth for whatever reason. I am aware that some individuals, for example, have chosen to carry a level of disability and suffering so that when rejuvenation comes forth, they will be able to be powerful examples to humanity of how this change is coming forth and what it represents. And it is a value to ensure that you rest and that you have a very good diet, primarily vegetable-based and so on. But relaxation and meditation and visualizing your body healed, these things can help. I'm not saying I have a simple panacea for you, because it is complex and it varies by individual, and it does include the issue of what you have chosen as part of your mission. So I would say to you to simply do the best you can in the circumstances in which you find yourself. And I am answering your question as a global response, because it is, in a sense, an issue for many people. And recognize that when indeed the rejuvenation of the physical form comes forth, as indeed it will do before the end of this year, then all of these struggles will disappear, because not only will the physical form be rejuvenated, it indeed will also be perfected to reflect that perfected state that the physical form carried before the fall in Atlantis. So I encourage you to hold on to that future unfolding as you deal with your current experiences.
Richard, thank you for bringing forth that answer, and thank you for Karen for the answer. I would like to ask our caller, do you work with any of our monthly conference calls with the Masters and the Archangels?
No, I just recently started listening to your Saturday night call.
That's beautiful. But I would just like to mention that we have 3 conference calls a month where Archangel
Michael
comes, Lord Metatron, and some individual from the heavens, such as Isis or Mother Mary or others, and they work with different energies for self-healing, for healing of the planet. And this, to give you an example, this last call that we had with Archangel Michael, he worked with a group to bring forth a particle that worked among the cherubim and brought down energies from the central sun, and we worked with healing our bodies. And so just to make you aware of that, if any of this relates to you, where this might be of interest, you could go to our website and look up those conference calls. This might give you great help with your clearing. Anything you want to add to that, Richard?
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. So thank you, Karen, for your question, because it's something that many people need help with. And thank you for bringing it forth.
Oh, thank you. And I'll start in on your conference call. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Now, we have Claudine is on line one. Claudine, welcome. What is your question for Karen?
I was anorexic when I was a teenager, too, and I was wondering if she has any more advice or any suggestions or things I can do, you know, to heal. If I haven't healed it up completely, if there's anything else I can do.
Richard, did you hear all of that, dear?
No, I didn't get the first part of that, Claudine. Could you repeat it for me?
Yeah, I was anorexic when I was a teenager, too.
Oh, you were anorexic. Okay.
Yeah, I was when I was a teenager, years ago. And if I got it all healed, you know, if there's anything else I need to do or if she has any suggestion for me.
Do you have that problem now?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
As I look at your records, as I am able to do, I see that you have healed and cleared all from that experience. And so I honor you for having mastered those terrible challenges which I was unable to do. And it is clear that you have cleared all of that from your experience. And so you should not remain carrying any concern that there might be any lasting damage to your physical body, because I see that there is not.
Oh,
Claudine,
okay. Wonderful.
Does that make you feel good?
Thank you, Karen, good news.
Thank you, dear, for your question.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. I would just like to mention this in case some of our listeners are not aware of what Akashic records are, because Karen mentions that she went to Claudine's records to check this. It is a remarkable tool because the history of individuals, the history of the earth, of the cosmos in general, different planets, this is all entered in records someplace. And it is the most beautiful thing that we can use, or, you know, speak to someone and get the information that is in the records, because it tells so much about an individual. Everything that happens is recorded. And I'm so glad that this issue or this situation came up, because there are people here who are not aware, perhaps, that we even have records. Everything that we do is recorded, every place that we've been. And I know that is hard to comprehend at first, and the results that it had on us as an individual, on the physical bodies, it's all there in the records. It's something also that we work with. So thank you, Karen, for bringing that up. We don't always touch on all of these different things in our radio shows. And so I really thank you, Karen, for even mentioning that, so people can be aware that this is available. We can get this information from our records. Thank you. And so we have Sue is on line 3. Sue, welcome. And what question do you have?
Well, I have one or two questions, actually, for Karen, if I could. But thank you to Carolyn and Richard and Karen for being here. I wanted to tell Karen that I'm a child of the 70s, and I'm a big lover of the Carpenters, first of all. So thank you for the music. And I wanted to ask Karen if she can tell us any more about her next incarnation, other than we know she'll have some kind of association with music.
Let's see if there's plans afoot. Richard?
I am not in a place where the details of that mission have been finalized. As you may appreciate, it is not actually in that direct sense me, that is the soul particles that I am, that will be coming forth in that manner. Rather, it will be a different set of particles which are sent forth from my monad for that experience. And so whilst I have communed with my monad about that subsequent incarnation, as I mentioned, and obviously my sentiments represent an important input to the unfolding of the next mission, it is far more than my wishes, you might say, that contribute to the final formation of that mission. Rather, it is finally the choices made by that soul that will come forth in communing not only with the monad, but indeed all other aspects that have journeyed, including me. So whilst given I am the most recent incarnation, you might say, on Earth, then I have what you might consider perhaps the most influence. There are many factors and many inputs to the final mix that finally gels to a mission and a journey coming forth in that lifetime. And so it will be a little time before all of that is finalized.
Thank you, Karen, because that's a very complete answer. Sue, a lot, this whole process of incarnation and the monads and how all this works, it's not something that many people know about. We do have a lot of information on our website about such things, but the monad is the gigantic soul, if you want to use that word, that was first created by, you could use God or a prime creator in the center of the cosmos. And each one of the incarnations, there is a finger of experience that comes into the earth, so that all of these individuals always have their memory, always understands their journey. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. And we thank Karen for mentioning this again. These are things that people really don't understand. And when you start to look at the beauty of this and the complexity and all of the planning that goes into this, it is such a beautiful, remarkable journey. So, Sue, thank you for bringing this topic up. It gives us an opportunity to touch on it a little bit. Thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up question about the monad?
Sure.
Got to be quick
because we don't have a lot of time on the air. Yes.
Are all the particles ever reunited and the monad back intact?
Does that make sense? No. I understand what you're saying, and that has to do with Brahma. And Brahma, the first part. Anyway, let me move over to Karen, because she is the spotlight here. Karen, do you wish to comment on this, Richard?
You began to speak of the cycle of Brahma, and it is not something that is well understood by humanity, what is known as the in-breath and out-breath of Brahma. And this is indeed acknowledged in some of the Indian traditions, and those notions are indeed accurate. There is, or at least there are, these very long cycles of what you call time, where there is this expansion of consciousness. It expands out to a particular point, that is the out-breath, and then it stops expanding and the in-breath begins. And indeed this event that awaits you at the end of this year is timed to align with the beginning of the in-breath of this cycle of Brahma in which you find yourselves. And at the end of each cycle of Brahma, all of the monads come back together, all of the fingers of consciousness return to the monad, and the monad returns back to all there is for a period where, in a sense, time does not exist, where you might say all there is sleeps. And at some point, a planning process begins once more for particular objectives for the next cycle of Brahma. Each of these cycles are different and they explore different things. And indeed, for the most part, people do not recognize, indeed, many souls in many dimensions do not recognize that all there is exists within a context and all there is receives guidance as to what to, you might say, investigate, to experiment with, indeed, in the subsequent cycle of Brahma. And then when that planning is finalized, the next cycle begins. And that soul that some of you know of as Marietta, the soul that sent forth that finger of consciousness that you know of as Yeshua or Jesus, that soul has the responsibility for opening and closing each cycle of Brahma. And once the cycle is opened, the souls begin to come forth, the monads begin to come forth, and the whole journey begins once more. And so, yes, indeed, those fingers of consciousness do indeed all return to the monad as part of that cycle.
Thank you, Karen, bringing that forth in such an understanding way, because it is a complicated journey, and you brought it forth very simply. And Sue, thank you for your question. It brought out some information that would be very enlightening to people. Thank you. And so the next individual on our line of callers is Jennifer on line 4. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm so grateful to be able to talk to Ms. Carpenter. So my question is, I don't know if Karen has ever had this problem during her last incarnation, but lately I've been feeling this deep lost feeling, you know? And it stems from not knowing my true purpose on Earth during this lifetime. So if Karen has any advice on how to return to peace and how to discover what I'm looking for.
It's a good question. It's a good question, Jennifer. A lot of people, you might say, are in that boat. So, Richard, what does Karen have to say about this?
The questioning that you have is a questioning that faces so many people, indeed most people in one form or another, and you might look at it as being the beginning of a true spiritual awakening. So many people have an experience of some sort which triggers this questioning. What is life about? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And that questioning, as I say, is for so many a doorway to begin to walk the spiritual path. And I am aware that you have done some looking at this, and so the question arises for you from the point where you have already been walking your spiritual path to an extent. And so you are looking for your purpose. And you, dear one, are one that is undertaking work that you do not understand. You are one that is actually assisting with the preparation for this unfolding time. And it will become clearer to you once the transitions that are about to emerge in your world come forth. You will begin to understand a lot better the work that you are already doing. And my suggestion to you is that you focus on the issues that I raised earlier about reconnecting with your self-love, healing yourself in this lifetime so that you can accept yourself as being worthy and valuable for who and what you are, rather than necessarily seeking out something tangible in this dimension, you might say, that you might fulfill in the next 4 or so months that remain before that transition begins. Because you are working in your sleep state above all else to assist with this work. So I encourage you to simply trust yourself and to allow events to unfold. This is my best advice to you.
Thank you, Karen. Jennifer, what did you think of that?
Thank you. That's just what I needed. Thank you so much.
Jennifer, there's a lot of information on our website. I do suggest that you go and do some reading, because I think it would be very enlightening to you. And thank you, dear. And I have to say that our caller on line one, we just don't have the time to get to your call. We only have 3 minutes, and it's impossible to get your question and the answer in that period of time. So I'm sorry about that. And to Karen, I would like to thank you so much for bringing your messages of hope and peace and love and excitement for the people who will listen to this radio show, because people come back and have the opportunity to hear your words again. So I thank you for that. And Richard, I thank you for this beautiful being that you are, who connect with those on the other side using the magic of your right brain. And by the way, folks, he does a beautiful job with people that he teaches how to do this in the Right Brain Magic sessions. So, Richard, we thank you, my dear one. We have 2 minutes. Anything you wish to say?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say it's been a beautiful time here this evening, because just basking in these energies that Karen is sharing with me, this beautiful love energy that she carries, has just been such a joy to sit and experience. Such gentle, powerful love, and also joyful. It's just been beautiful to sit for this hour in these energies. And so I thank you, Karen, for that experience. It's beautiful.
And goodness, Richard, I am so glad to hear it, because I have to tell you who listened to this, this is a lot of work on Richard's part. It takes a lot of energy to connect with people on the other side and hold that. I hold the space, and to take that time and bring forth this being for so long. An hour is a very long time to work with an individual, and you do an excellent job, Richard. Thank you. We're at the very end, my dear. We must leave.
Well, thank you, Carolyn, for providing the context for these sessions and this work. It would be impossible to do without you. Thank you.
You're
and thank
welcome.
You, Karen, for coming forth. It's been very
Absolutely.
Joyful.
Absolutely. So it's been a triangle of individuals that have brought forth this radio show today, and those at BBS who monitor the background and do that work. We thank them also for their dedication and their love and what they do to make their radio programming positive, beautiful, entertaining. And we thank you also, and thank all the listeners for listening. Until the next time.
Bye, everyone.